The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Where the dawn of the east meets the twilight of the west and the cool of the north touches the calm of the south and the transcendent power of God touches earth in the humility and love of Christ. Here and now where the head of the Charles reaches out to the heart of the country, we gather for ordered worship. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. As we are able, may we stand in the praise of God.
Glory to God in heaven and earth, and to all men.
pray together. Grant, O merciful God, that your church, being gathered together in unity by your Holy Spirit, may show forth your power among all people to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forevermore. Amen. Please be seated. Beloved, we commence each Lord's Day and so each week with a moment of quiet and reflection, a time in prayer, a prayer of contrition, of compunction, of lament, trusting in, guided by God's pardon, power, and peace. We recognize our humanity, our mortality, our capacity to harm others, and so as the choir guides, we lift our silent personal prayers of confession. Let us pray. Well, beloved, hear good news. If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thanks be to God.
A lesson from the book of Isaiah, chapter 51, verses 1 through 6. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation, for a teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
With expectation I have waited for the Lord, and he has cast his look upon me. He has heard my supplication, and he has put into my mouth a new song, a song unto our God. Thank you.
A lesson from the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please join me in a reading of Psalm 124 and a singing of the antiphon. On our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when our enemies attacked us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Please stand as you are able for the singing of the Gloria Patri and the reading of the Gospel lesson.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew chapter 16 verses 13 to 20.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Inspiration. A moment of inspiration. Peter is seized by a moment of inspiration. And you, and I, and we together? Have you faith? Have you faith in Christ? Do you hope to be made whole in this lifetime? Do you hope to be made loving in this lifetime? Are you earnestly striving after it? A moment of inspiration. The reason helps us, guides us toward inspiration, as Paul says in the letter to the Romans, read just a moment. Let your minds be transformed by the renewal in Christ. Be ye not conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your minds. Think Marsh Chapel in just a handful of strands, how that comes toward us. We don't stop to think about it often, but as autumn approaches and over two decades and some several years of labor, near and far there are campus ministers who grew up and out through your life and fellowship here, or were more early in friendship with us prior to arrival. And they or their successors are guiding, as we are starting this next week, student life at Bates and at Tufts and at Bentley and at Middlebury and at American and at Emory and at Colgate and at Ohio Wesleyan and at Syracuse and many other places. This is a strand of your life together. Or another, next summer we'll attend to it more fully, that historic strand of Methodism out of which Marsh Chapel was born and Boston University in 1839, the chapel being dedicated in March of 1950. Capacity to recognize that strand among us, the earlier words were a rewriting of John Wesley's questions. Have you faith? They guide us and sustain us, this strand among us. But there are others. Think of the voices of women coming in full, really in our time and in our age, but with a long history, including Frances Willard here in the chapel itself, including Anna Howard Shaw in the late 19th century, but really in our time, the voices women so important in our ministry today across the church. Where would we be without women in ministry today? Or other strands like the ecumenical tradition alive here this morning, or the interreligious tradition accompanying it. But really this summer, it's been, well, your family, the strand of women and men who grew up here at Marsh Chapel and came alive and now are elsewhere in teaching and in preaching. And they returned. The family came home. How thankful we are for their presence with us and the word they brought to us, about more which in a moment. Think, too, about that strand that comes out of the life of Howard Thurman and Martin Luther King, whose I Have a Dream speech turns 60 tomorrow, August 28, 2023. You know, in all these years, we've had so many fine voices here in that tradition. I can close my eyes and hear their cadence and their rhythm and their inflection. Bobby McLean, Peter Paris, Cornell William Brooks, Dale Andrews, Jonathan Walton, Peter Gomes, a cloud of witnesses carrying us forward from a part of our own original capacity. And this summer, Regina Walton and Karen Coleman and Jessica Chica and Soren Hessler and Jen Quigley and Bill Kortz and Stephen Cady, all either of our own team or coming home to you, now at midlife, teaching at Syracuse or Harvard or here at BU or at Vanderbilt, preaching alongside a combination fit to the history of Marsh Chapel. And you remember the costs of discipleship that they named. You can recite them fairly well, I trust. They reminded us. Most of us need more reminder, by the way, than instruction. They reminded us that faith is not a prize to be won, it is a gift to be received. They reminded us that as in the first century, so today, racial difference and division, regional and religious and cultural, is a real challenge and needs to be addressed and named and spoken of. They reminded us of food at the center, not just of life and family, but of sacrament and church, and the needs of the world around us. They reminded us of the harshness of the divine voice sometimes expressed in Scripture. As one said, it's like a dad whose five-year-old is going toward the stove and reaching out to touch, and the voice has to be harsh and real and fast. Think of the costs of discipleship that they named, the way that nostalgia can get in the way of curiosity, the way that curiosity can restore us from being swamped in nostalgia. The capacity to recognize that the gospel is traced not along the lines of success and failure, but along the arch of cross and resurrection. God loves us. God is loving us into love and freeing us into freedom. And that reason transformed can remind us, even as our preachers this summer so ably did. But the Scripture does as well. We listened to Matthew here a moment ago. You recognize that he has taken a passage from Mark that he knows very well and changed it. Not just a little bit. He's eviscerated it. He's gutted it. He has really moved it. Why? Because the distance between Mark in the year 70 AD and Matthew in the year 85 has been great, and Matthew is facing different challenges. The details of it, we can leave for a moment. The main thing is that all these gospel writers, as we do in preaching today, they re-gospeled. They took their inheritance, and then they deployed it as best they could, with mistakes for sure, in a new time and in a new age. So Mark calls Peter Satan. Matthew calls him the rock on which the church will be built. Mark has not a word about the church, but Matthew has this Greek root word, ekklesia, doubtful that Jesus himself would have used it, by the way, which means the ecclesiastical body, the church, the gathering. Mark guides with a reference to the Christ that is similar in many ways, but quite distinct from the way that Matthew in the rendering of Scripture gives us insight. We'd probably be better off, by the way, speaking of discipleship, if instead of using that word, we use the word studentship. We have 3,100 and a few other students coming across the transom this next week. And more than many other things, they need to see and hear in you, as they will, a sense of optimism, a sense of potential, a sense of possibility, a sense that a C minus on a midterm in chemistry is not the end of the world and may actually be an educational moment. They need to feel your presence as they are growing from age 18 and on. They are ready to join with us in the learning, the studentship that is discipleship. Our Latin teacher said, Sauve discipuli, hello students, and we responded, Sauve magistra, hello teacher. Maybe if we just thought of our life as studentship, especially here and in this season, it might guide us along a bit. We also need the fullness of the church to have confidence to offer. We need to be able to rest into the quiet that spiritual and religious life gives us, even right here during the week. We need to be able to have the support of those in the pew next to us to recognize we're not alone in this, and to be able to receive a word of encouragement or admonition, as may be the case and as is needed, to speak to one another in faithful terms and in helpful terms, and to watch especially for those who will be newest among us in just a few days and hours. We need, yes, the beauty of the architecture of the church, the sonorous loveliness of the music given to us to support us, the sacrament to sustain and nourish, and the words of Scripture interpreted in our time and for our time, week by week. Matthew teaches us, so let us discipuli, let us be students and continue in our studentship as the semester begins. But it's not just reason and Scripture. It's tradition. And here the tradition not only shifts, but rattles in its change. Do you notice that the disciples answer Jesus' question in a general and philosophical way? Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And some say Elijah, and some say John the Baptist, and some say Jeremiah, some say the prophets. But then Jesus turns in a personal way and says, who do you say that I am? And Peter speaks up in a moment of inspiration. Peter is called the rock, not because of his physicality, not because of his prowess in fishing, not because of his pedigree, not because of his advanced degree, certainly not because of his swimming. He's Peter, the rock that thinks like a rock when it comes to swimming, as we saw. He is so named because he's open, as we want to be, open to inspiration. Paul Tillich said, whatever else, stay open, be open. Peter is named the rock this is so often missed, not for anything he has done or will do, but for his open, rapt attention to the inspiration of the moment. The Scripture will guide us. Reason will guide us. The tradition of the church will guide us. But you know, most lasting learning, discipleship, studentship, comes in our own experience. A moment of inspiration. Inspiration. Peter, who is caught and given resurrection wings by receiving the gift of inspiration. New England has famous Wilder family. Some of us are drawn to Amos Wilder, who was a wonderful New Testament scholar, brought apocalyptic learning and language and imagery back in the early 20th century after his experience in the First World War. But you know the family better probably through Thornton Wilder, who wrote, among other things, a marvelous play, and you can see the scene, speaking of inspiration. Emily, who's been in the graveyard for some time and wants to return, having died at a relatively young age. And her cemetery mates discourage her, "Don't do it. You won't want to do it." But she presses and they say, "All right, if you want to go, then pick the least significant day you can think of. It will be more than enough. It will be too much." So she picks a February morning, one of her birthdays, and there's chaos and cacophony in her home, people running back and forth getting ready for work and school. She tries to speak, but of course they can't hear her. And then she turns and, in a moment of inspiration, says, "Clocks ticking, flowers, sunflowers, iron dresses, coffee, breakfast, home, mother, father. All this was going on, and we hardly noticed it." There's a moment of inspiration waiting for us, and one waiting for you, and you just don't know. In late 1980, in a small Methodist parsonage next door to Cornell University, with one child at 18 months in the crib, and another to arrive in about 4 months into the future, that draw, that inspiration of need to study further, to go on and return to finish up a doctoral degree so that there would be both preaching and teaching. But we couldn't find our way. Nothing seemed to fit. We looked at all the usual suspects, Boston University and Harvard, Yale and Union, Drew and Duke, and for a variety of reasons, some personal and some structural, nothing worked. And then, speaking of snow, on a quiet December day, returning a book to the village library, what a wonderful thing our libraries, there was a wreck. This is ancient technology, I recognize. And there were brochures, all red and white. And the one on the very end, turned to be read, said in block letters, "McGill." We hadn't thought of McGill. And all of a sudden, the world opened. And we could do it, we could see it, we could achieve it, we could afford it. It was in the reach of our bishop to appoint us to churches that hadn't had an ordained elder in 30 years. And there, the Europe next door, L'Europe prochaine, the second largest French-speaking city in the world, a marvelous faculty, all out of a moment of inspiration. Peter receives the gift of inspiration, and so is the rock. And the church upon which we depend and for which Peter labored, as Matthew rightly says, there are always challenges for the church. But the gates of hell over time will not prevail against it. You know, my friend said if the church disappeared all of a sudden, the next day there'd be a group of women and men who came together and spoke and looked at each other and found a table and found some chairs, found a loaf of bread, found a jug of wine, found a dog-eared scripture. We'd start over again. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Not because of its inherent strength, but because of ruach. Pneuma, spirit, inspiration, breath of God, breath of God, breath of God. Have you faith? Have you faith in Christ? Are you hoping to be made whole in heavenly love in this lifetime? Have you, maybe in this very moment, an openness to inspiration? Amen.
You may be seated. We now enter the time of our service where we join ourselves together as one body of Christ in prayer to lift up our lives and ourselves to God. As we prepare our hearts, minds, and bodies for prayer, you are welcome to stand, sit, or come forward and kneel at the altar rail. Now let us enter into a posture of prayer as we sing our call to prayer, "Lead Me, Lord," as printed in your bulletin. God, our refuge and our strength, though we walk in the midst of trouble, you stretch out your hand to deliver us. Hear us now as we bring our prayers to you. We pray for all of those, for all of us, who hunger and thirst, for all who suffer and grieve, for all those in pain and sickness, and for all those who doubt and hold questions. Surround us with your love. Support us with your strength, console us with your comfort, and give us hope and courage that goes beyond ourselves. Give us a boldness of heart to move forward step by step, away from fear and into the spaces you have provided for us. And may our eyes be open to the moments of inspiration that you have prepared. We pray for the peace of the world, for our country, for our communities, for our environments, and for our homes. Move among us by your Spirit. Break down the barriers of fear, suspicion, and hatred. Enrich our common life and renew our longing for justice and peace. Restore in us mutual love and understanding for all your people and for creation. We pray for the beginning of this new academic year. We pray for all the new students who will soon be arriving on campus. We pray for safe travels, speedy move-ins, and both heartfelt goodbyes and hellos as the students embark on this new chapter of their life. We pray for all the returning students. May they be refreshed and renewed to face all that is in store and ahead of them this year. We pray for the faculty and staff. May their work be for the care and uplifting of all students. And we pray for this larger Boston community as we are all touched by the arrival of new and old faces. May we be open to the ways you, O God, appear to us in unexpected ways. Merciful and generous God, we give you thanks for all that you have provided for us, for this opportunity to come before you with our needs and desires, for this community of faith and its uplifting words of hope. Lord, we bring all our prayers to you, knowing that you hear every word, whether said aloud or whispered in our hearts. We lift these prayers up in the name of your Son, Christ our Lord. Amen. And as our Savior Christ taught us, we now pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As we enter into this time of offering, let us return to the Lord a portion of what we have received. Come, just as God's love has been poured into our hearts, let us pour our love into the world by sharing what we have with the world and this community as a sign of our hope. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have offered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
It is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ our Lord. May the sun show warm and bright on you, your darkest night a star shine through, your dullest morn a radiance brew, and when dusk comes, God's hand to you. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be and abide with each one of us now and forever. Amen.